ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر.
Good Tree Academy presents Quran Connection. Help support the education of our future Muslim leaders. This year, Good Tree Academy is accepting Zakat funds for our tuition assistance program. Visit goodtreeacademy.org/Ramadan.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun. All praise is due to Allah, the only one taking care of us, the only one we should rely on and put our trust in, the only one we should worship, the only one deserving of us to turn to Him in all of our needs, for us to turn to Him in all difficult situations. He is the only one deserving of our worship and our love. And we ask Him to send peace and blessings upon the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom He sent as a beacon of light to shine until the Day of Judgment, and to whom He sent the final revelation of the Qur'an, Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallim. This revelation of the Qur'an, which in the last ayah that I recited from Surah Al-Hijr, Allah promises that He is going to protect it. He is going to make sure that it is protected. And the word Allah uses is حافظ. حافظ means a protector of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is meant to be heard. The Qur'an is meant to be recited so that it can be heard. But Allah describes in the Qur'an three types of hearing, three types of things that happen when the Qur'an reaches the ear. The first thing that happens when the Qur'an reaches the ear is that the physical vibrations of the sound make it to the brain. Physical vibrations, you hear something, there's a sound and it comes to your brain. That's only the first level, and that's the level that Allah speaks about the least in the Qur'an. The second level of hearing, Allah uses the word hearing, and it's obvious that Allah is not talking about the sounds coming to the brain. Because Allah says that they have ears that hear, but they cannot hear. And if Allah had made them hear, they would still not hear. So what this means is that there's a second level of hearing. Hearing the Qur'an, hearing the ayat of Allah. That second level is that when you hear the sound, you understand what the sounds mean. You understand what the message means. That's the second level of hearing. And the third level of hearing that Allah speaks about in the Qur'an is that the hearing doesn't only go to the brain, that you understand it. Your hearing goes to your heart, and you love to act upon it. You understood what it means, now you want to act upon it. And you live your life according to what you heard. And such is the Qur'an. The Qur'an, Allah made sure that it would be protected. And when He says He protected it, or He made sure that it was going to stay protected, He meant for all three of these levels to be protected. He meant for the recitation of the Qur'an to be protected, and He meant also for the message of the Qur'an to be protected. That people will continue to live upon the message of the Qur'an. And that is what it means to be a hafiz. And so I know for a fact, students of Good Tree Academy, that every single one of you is a hafiz, according to the definition that I just gave. The definition that the world has adopted is that a hafiz is somebody who's memorized the whole Qur'an. But the definition I just gave you is the hafiz is the one who does three things. He listens, he understands, and he acts upon it. And so maybe you've only memorized 10 pages. Maybe you've only memorized 10 surahs. But if you pay attention and you understand what you're reciting, and I know that grades 3 and below are still at the field trip. So every single person in this room understands the meaning of Surah Al-Fil when you recite it. I know this because it's part of your Arabic curriculum. Therefore, you are a hafiz. even if you've just memorized 10 surahs. According to the definition that Allah describes, what it means to be a hafiz. Now this definition, modern day definition, that a hafiz is somebody who's memorized the whole Quran, that's a modern definition. You know what a hafiz meant some 100 years ago? For example, we have a scholar, his name is Al-Hajar Al-Asqalani, Ibn Al-Hajar Al-Asqalani. He has the title Al-Hafiz Ibn Al-Hajar Al-Asqalani. The title of a hafiz used to be given to a scholar who has memorized the Qur'an and 100,000 hadith. That was a hafiz. So none of us are really hafiz in that sense. Yes. What an amazing accomplishment. Allah guaranteed that the Qur'an would be protected. One time, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, you know who's Umar ibn al-Khattab? Umar ibn al-Khattab is the tall and strong man who used to beat up people in Mecca. He set out to kill the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his heart changed, and he became a Muslim, and he became the strongest Muslim that all the Muslims described him as Al-Qawiy Al-Amin. They gave him the title that Allah gave Musa alayhi salam, because Musa was also tall and strong. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, the messenger said about him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if there was to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab became the leader of the Muslims 2 years after the Prophet passed away sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet passed away, Abu Bakr was the leader for 2 years, and when he passed away, Umar ibn al-Khattab was the leader for about 20 years after that. About 10 years, I believe. Radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, one time, he comes to the Prophet and he shows him the scripture of the Jewish people that used to live in Medina. This means that Allah had given scriptures to Musa alayhi salam, at-Tawrah it's called, and he has given scripture to Isa alayhi salam, al-Injil, and many people that had kept that scripture. But Allah did not promise that he would protect that scripture, at-Tawrah wal-Injil. And so what the Jews of Medina had, it came from the scripture, it came from the revelation of Allah, but we don't know if they changed it or not. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he brings a piece that he wrote down. And he shows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is what the Jews have. Look, it's very similar to what we have. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he got upset. Erase this. Do not write it down. The Prophet refused for anybody to write down anything during his life other than the Qur'an itself. There was a few other documents that were written. You've heard of them. The Medina Charter, when the messenger arrived, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he signed a treaty between all the different factions of Medina. The Muslims, the Jews, the three different settlements of Jews, the two different settlements of Muslims, and other people who used to live there too. They all signed a Medina Charter. So that's a document, an official political document that you sign. He also signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. These are papers that were written. Other than those, the messenger never allowed for anybody to write down what he was saying unless it was the Qur'an. That was the only thing that was supposed to be written down. And you have to think about this. Most of what we know how to practice Islam doesn't come directly from the Qur'an. How do we know to pray 5 times a day? How do we know when the adhan of each salah comes? How do we know how many rak'ah to pray in each salah? Most of what we do is not exactly described in the Qur'an. There's some that are exactly described in the Qur'an, like wudu. Wudu, you go to the Qur'an, you have it right there. But most of the things we do as Muslims, they're not described in detail in the Qur'an. So I think about this, the Prophet ﷺ, he could have, I mean, it would have been very easy for him to ask the Sahaba, some of them were living in the masjid. Like they were right there every single day. He could have asked them to come and said, okay, I'm going to explain to you exactly the time of every salah of the day, and you're going to write it down on paper, and we're going to call this fiqh as-salah. It would have been super easy for him to ask the people to come and write down all the details that we know. And you've heard that we have in our religion, we have hadith. Hadith is things that people say that the messenger said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when somebody says that the messenger said, well, we have to verify. Can we trust you? You say that the messenger said something. How do we know for sure that he did say it? So, hadith, get a grade of how authentic it is or not authentic. Some people, they just made it up. Some people, just because they wanted to steal some money, they said the Prophet said this or that or the other. Some people, they just made up things that the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many things that he said, and we believe them. He could have asked the Sahaba to come and write down, like for example, when Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is Islam? And the Messenger responded, Islam is, and he said the five pillars of Islam. What is Iman? And the Messenger responded, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Iman is the six pillars of Iman. He said the six pillars of Iman. And then what is Ihsan? And the Messenger responded, Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if you could see Him. And if you can't see Him, you should know that He sees you. When Jibreel left, alayhi salam, the Messenger could have told the Sahaba, wait, sit down, let's write this down. What I've just told Jibreel, let's write it down. The five pillars of Islam, the six pillars of Iman, let's write them down. But he didn't. Every single thing he said, I feel like if I was a leader and I wanted to leave a legacy like he did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would ask people that everything I say, write it down. Because I'm going to leave a legacy. I'm going to change the world. If you follow this, you're going to change the world. And he did change the world. But not a single time did he sit and have a hadith session with his sahaba. Not a single time did he sit with the sahaba and give him a detailed tafsir of a surah. Like we have books of tafsir. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah promised that the Qur'an would be preserved. And so Allah preserved the Qur'an. After the Messenger died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for about 40 years, people did not write hadith. People did not even like this concept of writing down hadith to collect hadith. Because the Messenger could have done it. He could have made people come and write down his hadith, but he didn't. So the Sahaba, they weren't comfortable with the concept of writing the hadith. Instead, what they made sure is that the Qur'an would not be changed. Because they had memorized the Qur'an. And in the Qur'an, they had memorized that Allah says, I guarantee I will protect this Qur'an. So for about 2 years, nobody did anything. They just memorized the Qur'an. They knew Allah is going to protect the Qur'an. But after 2 years, there was a huge battle that happened. Al-Yamama is called. And many of the Sahaba died. And then people came to Abu Bakr, and they told him, maybe Allah expects us to do something to protect the Qur'an. Allah promised He's going to protect the Qur'an, but maybe we need to do something. Abu Bakr had to think about it. He went to Umar, and they discussed. And Abu Bakr didn't like the idea. Umar ibn al-Khattab told him, yes, we should. We should make sure to preserve the Qur'an. We should collect the Qur'an. Abu Bakr didn't like the idea. Until Umar insisted, until Abu Bakr said, okay, I think we should. Because Allah said, I will preserve the Qur'an. We don't need to do anything. Allah promised He's going to preserve it. Abu Bakr, he still ended up deciding, yes, we will collect the Qur'an and make sure we preserve it. Who did he ask? He asked the companion, the young companion of Medina by the name Zayd. Zayd ibn Thabit. And Zayd ibn Thabit was one of the people that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call to write down the message of the Qur'an, the ayat of the Qur'an. He was one of the scribes of the Messenger. He wasn't always there, so sometimes the Messenger asked somebody else to write, but the Qur'an was always written down. So Abu Bakr, he commissioned Zayd to make sure to collect the entire Qur'an. He collected the entire Qur'an and gave it to Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr passed away, he gave that entire Qur'an to the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Her name is Hafsa. Hafsa was the wife of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr, when he passed away, this This collection, the Qur'an, the entire Qur'an being collected, was kept in the house of Hafsa radiallahu anha. Do you know what that Qur'an used to look like? That Qur'an was just a pile of pieces that we would call junk. It was just a pile of pieces of dried leaf, camel bone, pieces of bark, or not bark because palm trees have these types of leaves that go left and right on the trunk, right? These types of things, and other types of materials like in a pile, because that's what they used to write on. Barely a few people used to have parchments. Parchment was very expensive, so they didn't get the chance to write a lot on parchments. So that's what they did after the Battle of Yamama. 20 years later, now the Muslims have expanded across the whole known world. Almost. Known world meaning not America. People hadn't found out that America existed at that time. So Muslims had spread out a lot. And now the majority of people in the Muslim world were actually not Arabs. And they started fighting, disagreeing over the way to recite the Qur'an. They started disagreeing about the recitation of the Qur'an. And so one of the Sahaba came to Uthman ibn Affan. This was after Umar had passed away. Uthman ibn Affan was now the leader, the Khalifa of the Muslims. And he reported to him that people are disagreeing about the Qur'an and they're about to fight over it. So Uthman ibn Affan, he commissioned Zayd ibn Thabit a second time. He asked Zayd ibn Thabit, and he told him, we need to do something here. You and three more people that Uthman chose, a committee of four people, they got together and they copied from the collection that Abu Bakr made that was kept with, remember who? Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. From that pile, Zayd ibn Thabit was now commissioned with his three people with him to write down four copies of the Qur'an in a book format. Now the book that they wrote was probably about this thick and probably about this wide. It was a big book because that's what they used to write back in the days. Paper wasn't thin like it is now. So they wrote four copies of the Qur'an. And those four copies of the Qur'an were distributed to the four main learning centers of the Muslim world. If I remember correctly, one in Damascus, one in Basra, one in Kufa, and one in Yemen, if I remember correctly. For sure, four copies were sent out to different learning centers of the Muslim world. And after that, Uthman ibn Affan, he said, make sure that if anybody is going to teach the Qur'an, they teach the Qur'an according to this, so that we know after that it cannot be changed. And that is how students of Guthrie Academy in 2024, if we were to take a field trip to China and meet Muslims in China, and we were to recite the Qur'an to them, they could correct us to the letter because they've memorized exactly the same Qur'an. So this is to say that the Sahaba realized Allah promised He would preserve the Qur'an, but the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, they took action so that the Qur'an would remain preserved, unchanged. There is no other book, there is no other language in history that was preserved the way that the Qur'an and the Arabic language is preserved.